Praise God. Okay. Brothers and sisters, we're going to look then at the New Testament. And I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, please, to... let's go to the book of 1 Peter. And chapter 1 of 1 Peter. And I just want to go over a couple of verses that we have read before. Whilst we've been looking at the book of 1 Peter, we've started looking at it, but I just want us to go back to verse 4. Let's read from verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There's an inheritance, it's incorruptible, and it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, those of you who are kept by the power of God, that is, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Praise God. But notice it says that now there may be a period of time where we could be grieved by various trials. I just want to consider that this morning. That as Christians in this world, let me explain it, we're set against the people of this world. And my great concern for the church is that we've grown too comfortable. People are too comfortable and they just want to blend in and they just don't want to stick out from the crowd. Please, I don't want to stick out from the crowd. I want everyone to like me. I want to be just the same as them, but I still want to be called a Christian. Doesn't work like that, my dear friends. My dear friends, I want us to be very clear about something, okay? Jesus Christ, the one who we say we follow, says there's a broad road and most of the people are on it and it leads to destruction. There's a narrow way, it says, few there are that find it, and that is the gate that leads to life. And you and I have made a choice. If you're here this morning, probably you've made that choice to follow Jesus Christ. And if you've made that choice to follow Jesus Christ, it should be no surprise to us that in fact, we are going against the grain of this world. And so things will not necessarily always be comfortable, grieved by various trials. Some of the things I heard yesterday, I don't want to repeat this morning, some of the stuff that's going on in this country. Some of it was awful and shocking stuff, negative stuff that's going on in our land. And what's clear is that the opposition to the gospel is aggressive. And what's also clear is that the church, the so-called Church of Jesus Christ, very often is not the Church of Jesus Christ. The so-called Church of Jesus Christ, that which has an outward appearance of a church, that which calls itself a church even, is not necessarily the Church of Jesus Christ. Because in order to be the Church of Jesus Christ, You must be able to stand for the truth of the gospel, and that means there will be times when you are grieved with various trials. Why? Because you're standing against the way that society is going. So you're up against it, so to speak. And the scriptures are teaching us that this is the way it will be. This is the way it will be. But I'm saying this morning, and this is a challenge for each one of us here this morning. I'm believing that what's really needed is commitment. You see, there is a text that we've been reading in 1 Peter, but there's a subtext to what we've been reading in 1 Peter. You see, 1 Peter gives us specifics. Grieved by various trials is a specific. But the subtext, what's really going on behind that is what? Commitment. So something can say something, but what does it mean? It means commitment. I mean, if ever there was a testimony to people of commitment, it was the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. If ever there was a testimony to commitment, it comes from Jesus, who looks at Jerusalem at the start of the last week of his life, and he fixes his eyes on what he knows is ahead of him. And he says, whatever's happening, I'm going this way. And it's to a cross. And he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering from me. But commitment wouldn't yield. He asked, but because he had commitment, he followed through. He had various options before him, but the commitment that he had embraced caused him to follow through to the cross. Now, that commitment is what God is asking from us. We must have this commitment. But it's not just the word commitment, it's commitment to God, commitment to His gospel. This is what He's called us to. We are committed in life to various things, my friends. The challenge that God was speaking to me about yesterday was the commitment that we have to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter, the scriptures teach us about this commitment. The early church's commitment, utter commitment to the task. And whenever a church in the history of the church has done anything, it's been because there's been a certain level of commitment amongst the people. Now, I'm telling you, we're living in days of commitment. It's just to the wrong things. Some people are totally committed to what they're doing on a Saturday. You won't budge them. They're going to watch the football. They're going to watch the football. I mean, they are committed to the football. Oh, they're committed to the football. They're going to watch the football. And they're committed to various things throughout the week. They have their little things. They won't budge it. My question is this. Us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's our commitment? Where is our commitment? Let me just explain it like this. We should examine our lives and how we spend our time. We find out what we're committed to by an examination of our time. Let me ask a few questions along these lines. Are you committed to sleeping at night? I know I am. It's a commitment of mine. A couple of nights ago in that hotel room, I was sleeping on a bed with a ridge in the middle. Why, how they did that, I don't know. I was rolling off one side, rolling off on the other. I think there was something under the bed. The floors were creaking so much, I didn't want to look. I didn't sleep much that night, but I did sleep a lot the night before, and this morning, because we got back very late yesterday. I mean, I'm committed to that sleeping at night business. Are we committed to eating meals? Yes. It's a commitment. And it's not difficult, is it? These are fleshy commitments. Sleep is a fleshy thing. Nothing wrong with it, but it's the flesh that wants sleep. Food is the flesh. Nothing wrong with it. The flesh wants us to be committed in that way. Here's something else. Email, Facebook, and friends. People are committed to email, Facebook, and friends. You can have people now, you watch people in a restaurant now, you'll have people sitting, you know, together in a restaurant, and everyone's on their phone. They're not talking to each other, they're fiddling with that fiddly thing, twitting around. They're committed to it. Busy little fingers going. Here's another big commitment. Television. Devil vision. Big commitment. How many hours of the day do we spend watching television? It's a commitment in people's lives. Well, I want us to really think on these things. Here's another commitment to the fake news, the BBC. BBC used to be a great news organization. Now I don't trust anything the BBC says. I think it's completely, utterly biased. And I have so much proof and evidence of that. I can't go into it now, but if you're interested, ask me and I'll tell you. But it's just too much. I'll give you some references. Okay, Christians. Okay, Living Faith Church, Oral, that's going to make a difference into this world. Now comes the big one. Are you ready for the next question? Are you ready?
Yes.
Are we committed to prayer, worship, and Bible study? And some of us say yes. But then we must put the measure against some of the other things. And let's be honest with ourselves. And let's see how things measure up. And maybe there's adjustments that need to be made. And if adjustments need to be made, let's be wise and make those adjustments. There's no condemnation with the Lord, you know. He doesn't condemn us, but he does convict us at times. And he convicts us with a purpose to change us, to cause us to change and say, no, look, I want to build with something that lasts forever. You know, I want my life to mean something that's going to last forever. And look, our days are going fast, aren't they? So let's do that with our lives. Let's spend the days of our lives then in something that will last forever. Let our commitment be to those things that have an eternal significance. One of the things that we find with the early church, you know, they were committed in this way. It was God first in the rhythm of their week. I find many Christians, if you ask many Christians, what's the first commitment, they'll say, what's their number one commitment? They'll say it's God. They'll say it's God because they know it's the right thing to say intellectually. But if you really explore their week, you find that it's questionable if the evidence backs that up. Does the evidence really back that up? Is God really first place? For many people, you know, work is first place. Work is of a higher position. Because people feel they can not turn up to church. There's no problem. I just won't go. They'd never think that of work. They'd never say, I just won't bother with that today. I'd like to go, but I've got, you know, I just don't feel like it. They wouldn't do that with work. Oh, no, their commitment to work. Oh, I'll be in work all right, and I'll be there just before time, and I'll make sure I'm going to do a good job. Are you with me? We're talking about commitment this morning. And God is saying to us, look, Christians, if you want a church that's really going to make a difference, you've got to have some people. Let's have a few folks who are going to be committed to the body. The church is known as the body of Jesus Christ. So he wants us to be committed people. People who say, yes, I am committed. My life is committed to the cause of the gospel. And the cause of the gospel manifests through the body. And this is the body here, Living Faith Church. We're having a meeting on Wednesday this week. We're having those two meetings in the day on Thursday. Why are we doing it? We're not doing it because we want to be busy. You know, we're doing it because we're hoping that sparks may trigger off in people's lives. And people may say, you know, I want to come. I want to invite people. I want to see the purpose of God in my generation. I want the most important thing in my life to be the gospel of Jesus. Money in the bank isn't the most important thing. Money in the bank will soon, it means nothing when the end of this life comes. It's nothing. It's an illusion. What's important is a commitment to Jesus and his gospel and saying the first thing in my life, number one importance in my life is not my work, it's my Jesus. And that shows itself in my commitment to his body, the church that I'm a part of. Are you with me this morning? We've got to have some clear thinking going on, because otherwise, you know, when I view things, I think we need clear thinking going on. I'm convinced that God wants to do great things through us as a body. And I'm convinced it takes you and I saying yes as an individual. As you say yes, as you say yes, as you say yes, as you say yes, what happens is the spiritual temperature of the body starts to increase. As the spiritual temperature of the body starts to increase, there's more light going out. There's more going out. And there's more warmth to attract others in. The spiritual temperature of a church needs to increase to draw others in. It increases by every individual. So it's we're talking about individual commitment here. Now, the devil gets you to thinking that you're not important. It doesn't matter if you're not there. It doesn't matter if you're not committed. It's okay, rest. It's okay, take it easy. No, 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 no. Don't believe his lies. You're of vital importance, because you affect this one. This one sees you, and you have a positive impact on this one. And this one, in turn, has a positive impact on this one. And this one, and this one, and it knocks around like this. And before you know it, after a while, then what happens is the temperature, the spiritual temperature, has increased. And now that place is throwing off more light and heat and drawing in more people. Are you with me this morning? But it takes an individual to make a commitment to say, I will be committed. And there's always a cost. Of course there's a cost. It's commitment. But the Bible talks about this. Let me share something of what is taught about in the New Testament regarding this in other books. Let's go, first of all, to the book of Matthew and Jesus' words in Matthew 22. In the book of Matthew 22, Jesus is teaching us. And this is what Jesus teaches from verse 37. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the chief commitment of a Christian. This is the great and first commandment. Jesus is saying to us, every fiber of our being, every facet of our lives must be committed to serving and loving God. This means that we shouldn't hold anything back from Him. We don't hold anything back. It's all in. It's like a serious commitment. Have you ever seen a football supporter, you know, who's really committed? Oh, they've got the scarves, they've got the jerseys, they're going home games, away games. It's their life. Everything is orientated around this. I want to tell you something. In the early church, if you read the book of Acts, it talks about there was a time of prayer. Do you know that everything was orientated around prayers? You know, in Islam, they pray 5 times a day. It doesn't matter what else is going on. They're going to pray 5 times a day. Well, guess where they took that from? The Christians. They faced Mecca. Have a guess where the Christians used to face when they would pray 5, 7 times a day. Jerusalem. The early Christians would face Jerusalem and pray. And so the Muslims copied what the Christians were doing. Now, I'm not going to suggest that we need to be facing anywhere to pray. But what I am going to suggest is there needs to be more commitment in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I spoke with those political people and I got some knowledge about what's really happening in this country, it shocked me. The statistics of the churches closing, the statistics of the downward trend of Christianity and the Christian influence in this country, it's horrible what's going on. Why? How could this be? No commitment. No real commitment. Church attendance, yes, but no commitment. You see, God isn't after church attendance. What God is after is commitment to God. Daily commitment to God in my prayers, in my life. And then when we're committed to God, what happens is when things are happening in the church, people automatically are part of it. But that comes from commitment. Jesus also tells us that our commitment to Him must, now I want us all to think about this, must supersede even our commitment to our families. I love my darling wife, you know. She's just, I love Micah so much. But she's not going to be first place in my life ever. And I'm happy to say I'm not first place in her life ever. God is first place. It's God first. And I told her that when I met her. And she told me the same. It's God first. Sometimes I look at church and I look and I think, where's the fire? There's no fire. People lack fire. I can't put that fire in anyone. Only God can do that. But God expects us to be passionate people of fire. Commitment to God means commitment to His church. I spoke to some woman not so long ago. You know, she said, oh, I'm very committed to God. I love God. I love God. Which church you go to? Don't go to church. She's a liar. Liar. You can't be committed to God unless you're committed to His body. And His body, the Bible teaches, is the church. You can't love the head and say, I don't love the body. I mean, what a ridiculous thing to say. Just imagine a man and a woman. And a man and a woman, they're going to marry, which is the analogy of the church and Heavenly Father. And the man and the woman are going to marry. And the man says, look, I'm having second thoughts. I love your face, your body. I don't know what it is. I have no concern for your body. But I love your face. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Would never happen. No, if you love the head, you love the body. So when someone loves Jesus and they want to follow Jesus and they're committed to Jesus, they're going to be committed to the body. So when anyone ever tells you that, tell them no. You're kidding yourself. You need to come back to the body. This is what Jesus teaches in Luke 14 about commitment. Let's read these words from verse 26 of Luke 14. Jesus says this, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Oh, talk about passion and commitment. Jesus was a man of fire. A man of fire and commitment. A man of passion. They've turned Jesus into some nice little religious figure, but the truth is that he was a very grainy individual, a man of fire and passion. And this is the level of commitment he's teaching. He's saying these words, not literally that we should hate, but that the love that we have for God in comparison to the love that we have for our families, the dearest ones to us on earth, it should be like hatred in comparison to the love that we should have for God. Now, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you what's happening in the world, right? I'm going to share it with you this morning. This is what's happening. Most of the time, Christians look to other Christians. And so the standard of commitment in the church is going down and down and down and down and down and down and down, and they're closing and they're closing and they're closing, and it's going down. And along with that, they're compromising. Compromising, 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 changing the gospel, changing, compromise a bit more, compromise a bit more, compromise a bit more. So what's happening is, all this is taking place, and Christians are looking around for people that they can see, and they're thinking, well, I'm just as committed as them. Now, they may not say this explicitly, but this is what's happening internally. Are you with me this morning? So internally, what they're saying is, I'm just as committed as them, so, you know, I must be okay. I'm okay because I'm just as committed as them, you know, and they're measuring themselves to other people. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus makes it very clear. And he uses love as a measuring tool. And he's talking about hate. And he's saying to us, look, the love that you should have, the commitment that you should have for God, it should be such that it's as if you would hate your own mother and father. This is serious commitment. Such commitment means our family relationships, at times even, we've seen this, family relationships even severed. I mean, Jesus is so strong. But you see, we've so often turned in the church Jesus into someone that the Bible doesn't really describe, but that suits our desires more. So we've turned Jesus into a nice little polite man with blonde hair, a lady's nightgown, floating 3 feet off the ground and being nice to everyone. That's not the Jesus that I'm seeing in the scripture. I'm seeing a man of passion, a man of commitment and of fire. And I'm also seeing a man who warns of a heaven and a hell. Something else that no one's talking about. Hell. Don't mention hell. You want to be positive. Keep the people uplifted. Keep them upbeat. Let's be positive and let's just all, you know, give each other a rallying pat on the back and everything. And let's not mention anything to do with hell or anything like that. My friends, listen, the truth of the gospel is this. If you want to find out, if someone's preaching the true gospel, find out what Jesus preached. If you want to find out if someone's following Jesus, find out what Jesus said. And if someone is preaching along the lines of Jesus, it's okay. But if they're missing great parts of Jesus' teaching, they're not preaching the gospel. But they may be popular. They may be popular, they may be successful. Absolutely, of course. But listen, what do we want to be? We want to be faithful and committed to Jesus. That's the call of God for us. You know, Jesus gives us a reason for this level of commitment as well. And I'm telling you, this kind of things are changing and it's not all positive. There's a lot of stuff that's great, of great concern. We sang in the first song that we sang today, I want to see the Lord come again in my generation. I want to see the Lord come again while I'm alive. I wonder sometimes when the Lord might come again. Jesus teaches us that there will be signs. And I look around at the world and I think to myself, it may be that we are heading very close to the time of Christ's return. I don't know for sure on those things. But I'm thinking along those lines. And Jesus is warning us in advance about commitment. And he's saying that you should be this committed and you should be loyal in this way because you're going to have to endure. And it may be demanding. And allegiance to him at times may be arduous. Jesus alerted his disciples. John 15:20. And John 15:20 has resonated in my mind for some time now. I'll share it with you this morning. Remember the word, Jesus teaches, that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But the compromise in the church, you see, is there for a reason. They don't want to be persecuted. So rather than standing for biblical truth and true orthodox teaching, what they do is they compromise. We don't want to offend anyone. Let's not offend anyone. Compromise, 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 compromise. Not offend anyone, not offend anyone, not offend anyone. And then you've lost the gospel. The gospel isn't that way. The gospel is clear and strong. And it does cause offense. And it does lead to persecution. This is what Jesus has said. But what has to come first of all is commitment. To say, I'm following Jesus. I'm laying my life down for him. I will spend my day in worship, in prayer, and in Bible study. And I'm going to be really committed to Living Faith Church. I'm going to be so committed because it's the body of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to work with the body, not against the body. I'm going to be so committed. And then what will happen is, watch what will happen. Someone will see commitment in you. That'll inspire someone else. That'll inspire someone else. And it's going on over here, and it's going on here, and it's going on here. And before you know it, what happens is the spiritual temperature of the church starts to increase. and it starts to put out more light, and it starts to put out more warmth, and it starts to draw more people in. Am I making sense this morning? Am I making any sense to anyone this morning? The Apostle Paul echoed Jesus' warning, you know, when Jesus talked about persecuting us as they persecuted him. Paul, the Apostle, says in 2 Timothy 3:12, he said, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." So when we live this life, because you see, what happens is, I was with some people the other day, and they were builders, and sort of rough old lot, you know. And what happens is, there's a few they gather around, and then one says something, and the other says something, and before you know it, there's coarse and vulgar joking going on, and everyone's laughing. Well, I'm not laughing. But the pressure is there to laugh. You feel the pressure, you see, because now they're looking at you because you're not laughing, and they can sense that you're not pleased. So what do? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You look them square in the eye and you say, "I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I follow Jesus." And let them chew on it a while. Because if they think we're going to succumb to a few little people like that, they really don't know who they're dealing with. But you've got to make a commitment so that you can be strong as you walk in life. Are you with me?
Yes.
If you make a commitment, it's easy. That's easy to stand up to a few people. And it's easy to stand up wherever you are, because you've made a commitment to Jesus first, to the Word of God as your mandate for life. It's not difficult then. But it's making the commitment to it. It's saying, "I will live by this." And men have to make a strong commitment. Men have to say, "Look, I'm going to take a lead." There are so many wimpy men around. The world is filled with wimps. I mean, honestly, I just see wimps. I'm not talking about how many muscles they've got, how tall they are, how big they are. They could be tall, they could have muscles on top of muscles. They could still be wimps. Wimpy. In the church, let's be men. Let's be men who set examples for other men. Let's be strong in the things of God, and let's set an example for others. For our children, for our wives, for our sisters, our brothers around us. The world is crying out for people to set a commitment in the church. I believe that. To be strong and saying, "Oh, you know all those churches that are wishy-washy and things? You know all of those churches that, yeah, well, you know, we're not one of those. We're very different. We're biblical. We're following Jesus. We're in prayer. We're following him, and we're yielded." I mean, Jesus made the cost of discipleship plain, my friends. Let's turn to Luke 9. Jesus made it so clear. He said, "If anyone would come after me," from verse 23, he says, "If anyone would come after me," this is our Lord Jesus. Oh, my friends, if I could plead with you, I'd plead with you. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." In essence, Jesus is saying the true cost of commitment is one of total self-denial. A total yielding to him. and realizing, look, for me to be a follower of Jesus, it's not going to cost me Wednesday nights and Sundays. It's going to cost me everything. My life. Let's turn everything upside down. Let's say it's God first. Work second. If you want to do it in timetable, let's do it like this. God first. My children, I love my children. They're second. My children aren't first. They'll never be first. And I can make a good case for loving my children just as much as anyone else in this place. Believe me. I love those darlings. They'll always be second. It's God first. My wife, always second. It's God first. This is what Jesus is teaching. This hasn't come from my mind. This has come from God. This is the level of commitment that he's given to us. He's saying, look, you better take, if you want to be a disciple, if you really want to follow me, this is what it takes. And he's calling us to be people like this, to be passionate in our lives for him. The true cost of commitment is total self-denial. That's what he's saying. It's saying everything else is second place. And I put God first place. That means that God gets my excellence. I'm concerned about doing a good job in work. Yes, I'm concerned I do a good job in work. That's why I turn up to work. I turn up on time. I want to do a good job for the boss. I care for the about doing a good job. But that is way down the line. I mean, we're talking about commitment this morning. And when I read about Paul, you know, and you're reading Peter's letters, you read about Paul, reading Galatians 2:20, about what the Apostle Paul said, as I come to a close this morning, talking about commitment, he says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a picture of commitment. Jesus gives us this phenomenal example. Paul says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He's been crucified with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, as we close this morning, consider this. Jesus died on the cross and took away all our guilt. Everything you've ever done wrong was paid for at the cross. That's all you have to do is say, yes, Lord Jesus, accept me as your follower. I want to follow you, Lord Jesus. And at that moment, he takes all of your sin. All of your sin is on the cross. All of that sin is paid for on the cross by your confession and desire to follow Jesus. And then he imputes righteousness into you. And he says, I see you as righteous now. You're the righteousness of God now. It's not based on works or anything else. It's just based on that prayer of faith that you've made. But then there's the walk. There's the Christian walk. And this is where people have confused the grace that leads to salvation with what follows salvation. God's called us to walk as disciples with commitment to him. This is the Christian walk. This proves that we have been injected with righteousness. If a person is apathetic about church, I wonder if they've been injected with the righteousness of God. My friends, we're here this morning to put God first in our lives. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Every eye closed, please. If you can close your eyes, just close your eyes now. I say if because I'm aware of some people doing a couple of bits. Is there anyone in this room this minute who's not sure that they're a Christian and they want to be a Christian? They want to be committed to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If there is someone in this place right now in that position, I want you to put your hand up and accept Jesus as Savior this morning. Father, let's see that hand. Okay. Father, I thank you for the assurance of faith. I thank you that, Father, Lord, when we are sincere and we come to you with sincerity, that you are faithful. And so I thank you, Lord, that you are our Lord and we've committed ourselves to you. Father, thank you for that. Thank you. Lord, we just desire deep down to be all that you've called us to be and to do all that you've called us to do. We want to be the church that you've called us to be, Lord. We want to be the people that you've called us to be. And we're asking this morning that you mold us and shape us. Have your way with us, Father, that your will be done in and through our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Have your way. Have your way. Lord Jesus, have your way.